Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Josh Malang, who's the president of Retirement Protectors, and we'll be talking about how Social Security claiming impacts retirement. Josh, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, so get us started with a little bit of your background. How did you get into the financial services industry?
Yeah, man. Thanks for asking. So it's actually something that I've been doing. This is the 20th year I've been in the industry now. And when I was 22, I had a buddy interview with an insurance company. And I end up getting an interview with the sales manager and kind of pitching him on why I might be a fit for this industry. And so he kind of coached me into getting my license. And that was really kind of it. I mean, everything I had done to that point had sort of created the skills and habits that I needed to be successful in this industry. And it's been a perfect fit. It's been a ton of fun. You know, I'm a big, big fan of math and problem solving. And so, you know, I get to use those every day in my work and provide value to the clients we work with.
And I think math and problem solving kind of gives me the connotation of like, give me a checklist and a blueprint and like this piece of the puzzle. How does it fit into the overall piece? And when you start talking about retirement, boy, that is not an easy fill in the blank, check the box, you know, solution. Retirement has a lot of moving pieces, moving parts, and it's different for every single person you work with. So talk a little bit about how you advise your clients and then how you keep that close eye on how they should be making decisions regarding the Social Security.
Yeah, man. Thank you for kind of that setup. So, when we're talking about, helping people get to the point where they can retire, and what's interesting too, Mike, is that oftentimes by the time we sit down, take inventory on what people are doing, find out their, you know, needs and objectives, as it turns out, more often than not, they're actually ready to retire and they don't even really know it. You know, they think they're going to have to slave away for another 4 or 5 years or wait for another market correction. But, you know, by the time we add all these things up and put them into a retirement income strategy, oftentimes people are ready to go. And, let me tell you something, you know, when people are in a position where they are working because they choose to, not because they have to or they need to, when they know they can retire today, they end up working as long or longer than they thought they were before, but they like it. Yeah. You know, it's pretty awesome. So kind of to get people to that point, we do a few things that are really, really important to kind of set the stage for their retirement. The first thing we do is we do a fee audit. So we take a look at what people have in terms of their existing assets and things like that, and really help them kind of with an x-ray of the, we'll call above the line and below the line fees, and benchmark that to what's out there in the market. The other thing we do is a performance audit. And this takes into consideration how people are doing in terms of to the amount of risk they're taking on. And then we do a risk audit. So part of people's retirement income strategy should be identifying the fact that they may be in a position where they're taking on, or they should be taking on or desire to take on, less risk than the investments that they currently have. So those are really some of the setup tools that we use. But then when we're building the retirement income strategy, we're really focusing on all of the assets and all the income that are available now and in the future. So we take into consideration Social Security in terms of not only when the optimal time to take that is, but some of all the nuances and things like that that come with that. A lot of people we work with still have pensions too, Mike. And that's a consideration that can be a huge benefit to them in terms of when and why to take their Social Security. If they have some of these other, you know, guaranteed income sources, that can help make the decision. So we don't really come in with kind of a, here's what you should do and why, you know, message. It's more like, what do you got? You know, what are you working with? Let's take inventory of your, you know, assets and your income sources, and really build a plan out. So, that's what it all comes down to. There's some very specific things from a Social Security, planning standpoint that are done, but those are a part of the overall income strategy. And those are a part of the overall, you know, retirement strategy. And so it's a big piece of a big piece of a big piece. A big puzzle.
And since we're talking puzzles, it's kind of like dominoes, where if you make one topple, all of a sudden it's like, now we got to, it impacts so many things. So we make the wrong decision on one part, like, oh, Social Security, I can claim it at this age. Give it to me now. Thank you. Goodbye. Okay, good. Well, was that the best choice? So talk a little bit about the timing of when, what's the earliest you can claim Social Security, and why are some benefits of claiming early, but also what are some reasons why you should wait a little bit longer?
Yeah, great question, man. You know, Social Security, I mean, you can take it as early as 62, and a lot of people do, depending upon their situation. And again, with all these other factors, whether it's assets to pull from or it's other income sources, you know, living in the Midwest, you know, there's a lot of people who have ground and land and real estate and stuff like that as well, which are all factors that contribute. But so, yeah, sometimes people take it at 62. We see more and more people waiting at least until they're 65 to wait until they get Medicare. Because, you know, that's a huge part of our planning process, and frankly, a massive expense, and another huge issue that can be messed up pretty severely if you don't do the right thing there. But a lot of times people are waiting to retire until they at least get Medicare because, you know, their big concern is health insurance. And so we see 65 is a pretty popular time to take it. And then depending upon people's birthday, there's a whole chart that we have that talks about, you know, that full retirement age. And so depending upon that, you know, what that full retirement age is for you. That's a big factor. And then, you know, there's provisional income and things like that, that, you know, if somebody wants to continue to work or they've got income from different sources or different assets, it could cause them to be taxed on up to 75% of their Social Security. So there's a lot of those things. And then, you know, 70 is kind of like the, you know, the last stop on the on the train station, where, you know, you're going to, you know, take it at 70, whether you like it or not, type of thing. And that's also the maximum amount that you can get. So we find not a lot of people are willing to kind of wait until that point, but that's the maximum amount. So anytime in between there, it's, you know, you can take it, you'll have it for longer, obviously. And, you can participate in the, not guaranteed, but this year, 8.7%, cost of living adjustment on Social Security, you know, which is pretty significant. Also considering the fact that the Medicare Part B premium, as well as the deductible, went down this year. It's really a true raise this year, not in times past where it's kind of evened out with Medicare. So a lot of factors, Mike.
And it sounds like a stair step. Like at age 62, you can take it, but if you wait till 65, you'll get a little bit more. If you wait till. So what are the percentages? If you wait from one age to the next, how much more in Social Security benefits are you going to get?
Yeah, I mean, it can be significant. I mean, it's a compound increase that you get every single year from your normal retirement age until that age 70. So, I mean, and it could be, you know, many, many percentages higher if you defer it. But again, kind of depending upon your situation and what you've got going on with other income sources, other pensions, other assets, and that sort of thing. Obviously, you know, if you can have a guaranteed increase of a certain percentage every year on a lifetime's worth of income, that's great. But if you need to retire and can't unless you take it, that doesn't really matter. You know,
there's two ends of the spectrum. You might have to retire at 62, let's say, and you might have nothing at all. And you have to have Social Security to put food on the table. Okay, there's that option. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you might have all kinds of little side gigs and consulting and some real estate investments. And you're like, you know, I could wait plenty of years. So it's not going to hurt me to wait. So you may as well wait to maximize that compounding of getting the most amount of benefits. And it's like you've said, it's different for everybody. And let's take a look at your situation, because it is different. But what about when you have a husband and wife, a couple, so spouses? Doesn't that throw another layer of decisions in there? Like, should the wife claim first, the husband claim first? How does that work?
Yeah, man, you're just terrific at just stealing my thunder, man. Every time we talk,
that's right.
Yeah, you take one of the points that I was excited to make, and just
I like to think of it as like a softball lob. So go ahead and knock it out of the park,
man. Yeah, Stockton to Malone. Here we go. You know, spouses, that's a big important consideration as well. You know, oftentimes we see people where one spouse may have a very significant amount more Social Security built up because of their career, you know, like in my world, you know, you've got like the entrepreneur person and then the person who's had a normal job. And so the entrepreneur isn't always the one that has the most on their social security statement every year, you know, as far as that's concerned. So, and same thing too, like I mentioned in the Midwest, a lot of the people that we're working with are in ag, you know, and the farmer's yeah. objective is to pay as little to the government as they can every single year of their life. So they may not show a ton of money on, you know, in terms of actual earnings for their Social Security. So they may not be hardly getting anything. So, there's a lot of considerations in terms of, you know, who should be taken soonest, who can be deferred. And also like when we talked about kind of, delaying, you know, longer it delays, the more compound increases we get. There's also a consideration too, where, you know, something happens to someone, their spouse will get the greater of either, their Social Security or their deceased spouse. Okay. So the further you defer, the better it can be for surviving spouse as well. So these are just all considerations, and it's really it's case by case. You know, there's really no, answer. Where are you at? You know, let's take inventory of your income sources, assets that can be, turned into income sources, and really help bridge the gap between, look, here's what we've got every month right now. Here's what we need to retire. Can we do it? And if so, how, when, and you know, where?
So I'll bet you've had a client come to you that goes, we just have to take right now because, and then you kind of start unpeeling and going, hey, but hold up, you've got this and this over here, and you've got, what if we were able to do this? And now I'll bet you've been able to show people like things that they didn't even realize that's right under their noses that they already have that would give them the liquidity and the cash flow they need right now so that they could defer out a little bit more. Has that ever come up?
All the time. Yeah. And that's really the fun part of, yeah. you know, people, you know, they don't know what they don't know, you yeah. know, so they can kind of come at you and say, hey, you know, I need your help with X and Y and Z. And you kind of sit down and go, okay, that's cool. Let's just talk about where you've been and where you're at and where you want to go though. You know, they're like, I want answers this? On this and that. And right.
Yeah. Did you know that we could take this and turn this into that? And they're like, oh my word, really?
Yeah.
So how about the person that's listening to this going, oh my goodness, there's so many variables and I just don't have a clue. I'm just going to claim at 62 because I can always just change it. I can always just claim, unclaim, move. When you claim, isn't it like, this is it. It's signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah, the governments, they're pretty static and from that standpoint. So they don't like, they don't change ever. So
it's not like you turn know, it on, off, on, off. No.
The good news is there's a lot of the work that we do is with different vehicles, and products that in fact you can turn on and off. And so, yeah. These are things that we try to, help plug into people's retirement income strategies, prior to making that very, you know, definitive, Social Security decision, you know, leveraging other income sources and other assets that can be turned into income, prior to making that decision, because that is, it's final, you know, you can't unwind it.
Yeah.
So that's a huge important thing to know and certainly something you don't want to mess up. So it's, really working with somebody who is very focused on exclusively helping people who are at or approaching retirement, to take into consideration all of the different things that you can do to generate income that you can outlive, including Social Security is really key. I mean,
I don't play chess often, but I play it enough to know that when you make a move, you can leave your finger on the piece and you're like, okay, let me just make sure, is this the right move? And then, okay, good. And then you take your finger off the piece. Okay. Now it's the move. Well, similar to what we're talking about here, you want to be sitting down with someone like yourself that specializes in these decisions to go, if this, then that. You know, if you do this, then here's what would happen. So would this be a good move? Yes or no? Okay, well, let's now talk about this move. And the typical retiree, pre-retiree, just typically is relegated to, let me just go Google it, and let me get some information online, and let me make that decision. But that would be a really bad choice to kind of make Social Security claiming decisions based on what Google tells you, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, there's a lot of good information on the internet. There's a lot of information on the internet, frankly.
Yeah.
And, you know, what the internet is unable to do is really take into consideration all of the things that you've got going on, what your needs and objectives are, and how to close the gap, if there is one, between, you know, where you're trying to be and where you're at right now. You know, you can go to people, you can go to the internet, you can go about anywhere with a specific question and you'll get an answer. And it may or may not be a correct answer, but I can promise you it's not going to be a complete answer. And that's really the thing. You can go ask Google, you know, what should I do about X and what should I do about Y? Well, the problem is you're not asking the right questions, you know? And so Google, you can't say, hey, Google, you know, I've got this pension I can claim at 65. My full retirement age is 66.4. You know, my spouse doesn't have any Social Security because she moved here 2 years ago from Indonesia.
Solve for that equation.
Solve for X, you know? So, you can get correct answers, but the answers don't necessarily, they're not the correct sort of play, if you will, back to your chess story.
And also it's like the tip of the iceberg. You know, we've all seen that illustration of like the little tip of the iceberg is what we see, but everything down below. Well, you might get that answer, that surface level answer, but what is the domino effect that's going to happen down below the surface? And I think that people would then go, okay, well, Google, yeah, I get that. You don't want to trust Google for everything like this, but Social Security, you know, they've got a website that has questions. I can call them and sit down with them. Maybe I just talk to them. Well, they are kind of like, you know, prohibited from giving like planning advice. They only can give specific answers, right? So you can get help there, but they're not going to give you like the full plan.
Correct. Same story there. I mean, Social Security is a great resource, obviously. I mean, that's kind of the horse's mouth, if you will, as far as, you know, what is this thing going to do for me? And it's the same thing if people have pensions, like from, you know, they work for the state or whatever. If their state's got, a pension department, they can call and get a projection and stuff like that. That's all accurate. It's correct. It's right information, but it doesn't mean that that's the right play. You know, the right play has other factors that those, you know, Social Security or your, you know, state pension place or whatever, they just don't have insight into. And even if they did, they don't really have the tools and experience to be able to kind of put all that stuff together and make an educated, you know, make a great recommendation for you. So you can go to those places and get answers, but you're probably not asking the correct questions to the tip of the iceberg story. But also there's so many other factors that, you know, they'll give you the answer to the question that you have, but that doesn't mean that that's the right play. That's not the right thing you should do overall. So it's about the big picture.
You've seen that kind of thing like in movies before where it's like, well, you didn't tell me that, you know, little tidbit. And they're like, well, you didn't ask.
Well, exactly.
You know, you don't know what you don't know, back to what you said. And I think that kind of gets down to working with someone like yourself that has a deep working knowledge of Social Security and how Social Security claiming is a specific piece of the puzzle for retirement. And rather than just going in and talking with just someone that's a generic financial professional that is like, okay, yeah, I can put your money in this, you know, type of account and I'm a financial planner, but do they have a deep working knowledge of how Social Security impacts that plan? And that's a big consideration that people, you know, well, I've got a guy, you know, my guy that's been giving me advice over the last few decades, but how detailed are they and how well-versed are they in how these type of claiming options will impact the end result? That's a big question mark for a lot of people.
You're just dead on, man. Dead on. You know, and because the work that we do is with people who are approaching or recently retired, we don't do anything with people who are, you know, where do I save for this? Where do I save for that? It's, you know, people's financial planners and work plans and everything else really gets them the accumulation that leads them to us. I mean, we are the people who get people into and through retirement. And, you know, you're not going to get great advice from somebody who, you know, is helping you save for your Roth IRA $50 a month at a time for 20 years on how to integrate Social Security into a retirement income strategy to, you know, optimize for taxes and not outliving your income and all these other things. It's just a different discipline. I mean, you're not, Mike, I don't know, man, I don't know how old you are, but I'm pretty confident you're not going to a pediatrician anymore.
Yep. All right.
Right. I mean, there's nothing, you know, pediatrician's got its spot, right? I mean, they're great at what they do for what they do. And then, you know, when you grow up, you go to, you know, another type of primary care physician. And then when you get a little bit older, you've got your internist and your geriatric medicine. Yeah. That doesn't mean your pediatrian was garbage.
Nope. You know, but at the right time.
You outgrew them, man. Yeah. You know, you made it. Congratulations. You know, you got through accumulation and you got to distribution. So that's the way we look at it.
Let's think about something else too. You really probably should run from someone that says, I know everything about everything. I am an expert in accumulation. I'm an expert in, because no one could be. So from what you're painting there, you then say, hey, let those wealth accumulation people during the years of, you know, growing it, that's what they're focused on. They're looking at charts and trends and all kinds of things. But here's where we excel. We help you maximize this and minimize that and transfer to legacy. And it's like nothing wrong with the other people and nothing wrong with the way that you do it. It's like all in due time. And you play nicely with those professionals.
Without a doubt. And it's just a different skill set, you know, from the products that we use to the tools that we have for educating people on this stuff, the resources we have access to. It's just, it's all different. And it's like, you know, when people hear the word insurance, they think, oh, car insurance, you know, home insurance, totally different than every other type of insurance, but it kind of all gets lumped into, oh, money. Oh, well, money. I've got a money guy already, you know?
Yep. And it's if you made bad decisions about health insurance, car insurance, homeowners insurance, then that would have a domino effect on other of your financial decisions. So it all needs to blend nicely together. So let's wrap up with this, Josh. If someone is listening to this going, okay, I kind of, the scales have now fallen off my eyes and I now see that Social Security might be a little bit more than checking the box. What's the best way they can learn more and reach out and connect with you guys?
Yeah, totally. It's about reaching out. You know, we have a discovery process where we just hop on a phone call and have a conversation kind of like you and I are having right here. Just talking about people's objectives and where they're at and where they're trying to be. We have a process in place, for that, but the best thing is just to reach out and make an introduction. You can Google us, Retirement Protectors. We have a great website. It's got a lot of value. It's called retireprotected.com. And then also, you know, a direct phone number, 515-992-5000. These are just ways to find us. We're not good at hiding, man. So, you know, if somebody wants to find us, you find us, get a hold of us. And, you know, we'd love to open up a conversation and see if there's an opportunity for us to provide value for you, you know, as you approach retirement.
Awesome. Well, Josh, thanks so much for coming on today. It was a real pleasure talking with you.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me, man.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.